I always love the day after a fast is over. There's just an excitement that builds inside of you. It's just like you just want to praise the Lord for everything, right? He's so good. Amen. We're continuing on with our tithes and offerings series of Never Give Up, and we've been focusing on the verse in Luke 11:9 that says, "Ask and you receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open to you." And we talked, actually Lane talked about the asking part, that you have to open your mouth and ask the Lord for whatever it is that he's put on your heart. And you'll know that you're asking with right motives if you're seeking him. And we talked about last week, it's as a woman seeking after a missing gold or a missing silver coin. Amen? We girls don't give up. We keep looking for that thing, right? And so that's what you have to do. And when you're asking the Lord in the right way, when you are seeking him and desiring to put him first in your life, then he will lead you to the right doors to knock on. See, that's sometimes what we mix up, is we just think we can knock on any door and it'll be opened. But some doors, the Lord's not going to open because what's on the other side is not going to be good for you. Does that make sense? So that's why he says, ask, then seek, then knock. He puts them in that order for a reason, because there are times in our lives, I know that I've knocked on doors before and knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked, and I'm sure the Lord was like, really, Shelly? Just stop. It's not opening. They're not home, right? Have you ever done that? When you really want to get a hold of somebody, you're knocking and knocking and knocking. You're peeking in the windows, right? Knocking and knocking, knocking. They just have to be home, right? But they're not there. And there are times when, you know, you'll hear people say that God does answer, but he answers no. Well, actually, if you read the word, you would know you're at the wrong door. You're knocking at something that shouldn't be in your life in the first place. Amen? And so I wanted you to open your Bibles to Acts 12. Because there's another part when you're knocking at a door. And see, sometimes we want to give up when we're knocking at the door that we know the Lord has brought us to, because that door is not opening for whatever reason. But sometimes we forget that we live in the natural world, right? And in the natural world, there are other people involved. Did you realize that? And they all have a will. Because God isn't taking away everybody's wills, right? He gave us the choice to choose him. And sometimes when people don't choose to act according to his word, it can feel like it's delaying our process and we want to give up. But I'm here to tell you today, never give up. And in Acts 12, I'm just going to kind of give a little quick summary here. Peter has been put into prison. And in verse 5, it says, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Okay, so he's in prison, but there are people that are praying and believing with him, right? That's important to remember. And Herod was about to bring him out that night. Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So he's got two sets of chains on him. He's got two guards with him. A lot of times in those days when you were in this type of prison, it wasn't just two guards that set. A lot of times you were attached to those two guards, okay? So this is a very dangerous criminal. Where have we heard this before, right? Dangerous criminal that is sharing the truth of the gospel, that's bound up with two chains, with two guards, with guards outside that are also guarding the prison, right? Doesn't make any sense. But people are praying, right? They've asked and they've sought the Lord. We know Peter was praying. They've asked and they've sought the Lord, right? And now the door is beginning to be knocked upon. They're praying. They're knocking at the door. And this is the cool part. In verse 7, it says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. Now here's the first door. And the chains fell off his hands. Do chains normally fall off your hands? No, they require some kind of unlocking. But here's the supernatural power of God. When you're knocking on the right door, asking with the right motives, the chains just fell off. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals, and so he did. And I love that the Lord cares about everything. It's like, Peter, you're not going out of here naked, right? Put your clothes on. Put your shoes on. We got a ways to go. God cares about the details. And then he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Why do you think he was seeing a vision? Because this is not normal, right? This is not normal that your chains fall off, the guards are still sleeping, everyone is still okay with you putting on your... He was in there for a while. He's walking around. He's putting on his clothes. He's putting on his shoes. Guards are still asleep. Chains are still off, right? And then it says, then they went out past the first and the second guard post. Are you seeing this? Here's another. Knocking. People are praying. There's a knocking going on. His chains fall off. Door number one. Door number two, they literally walk past the guards at the first post. Then it says they walk past the guard at the second post. This is not normal, right? When you're in prison, you don't normally just get to leave your cell and walk past all the guards, right? This is not normal. But what happens when you knock in faith and you know you're asking correctly? The door will be open to you. Amen? Now, this is my favorite of all of them. He's gone past the guards, the first guard, the second guard. Then they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Don't tell me that God can't fix your car. If he can open an iron gate and have that thing open itself, it doesn't say an angel opened, it says it opened of its own accord. That means the Lord said, open up. And it went, hallelujah. Open up, right? Another open door. Why are all these doors opening? Because people are knocking in prayer for Peter. Peter is believing. And it says, when you knock, the door will be opened. When you are knocking at the door the Lord has for you, it will be opened. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed. And Peter had come to himself. You can almost see it, like the angel's gone. Peter's like, dude, I'm out of prison. That was real. My shoes are on. That was real, right? And he comes to himself. And he says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people. See, sometimes there's doors we have to walk through and timing, and it may feel like, whoa, this is like a dream. This is like unreal, right? It is unreal. It's not real. It's a supernatural real. Does that make sense? Because God is involved. You've asked with the right motives. You've been seeking after him with your whole heart, so you know this is the door I'm supposed to be knocking on. Now, here comes the part that that involves other people. Are you ready? So all these supernatural things have happened to Peter. And it said, when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where there were many gathered together praying. Who were they praying for? Peter, right? We learned that at the beginning. They're praying for Peter. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. So now he's doing the knocking, right? He's knocking on the door at the gate. And a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. So Peter gave up and kept going. Is that what it says? No. It says he continued what? Knocking at the door. Because sometimes there's other people involved and you have the human aspect. Amen. It doesn't always mean that it's a negative thing. It may be someone is just so excited about what God has done in answer to their prayers that it takes them a moment for it to register. Aha. Aha. There have been times in our lives where God has blessed us financially, and we've been like so excited about it, right? And then it takes a minute when you come down from your excitement of, oh, I would like you to bless this person and this person. You're like, oh, yes, yes, okay, Lord, yes, yes, right, okay, yeah. It's not that you're doing evil or forgetful of that person, but they're still doing what? They're still knocking at their door, waiting for the human side to catch up to the supernatural side, right? So Peter is still knocking at the door. And it says that she ran into the crowd that was praying and announced to them that Peter stood at the gate. And they said to her, you are beside yourself. Sometimes when we pray, we are not expecting an answer. This is the middle of the night. They're not expecting Peter. Why are they not expecting Peter? Because Peter is bound with two chains between two guards inside the inside of the inside of the jail. There is no way in the natural Peter is getting out, even though we are praying and asking for it. Do you see why it's so important that when you pray in faith, you are looking for your answer? It doesn't matter what hour it's at. You should be looking for your answer in the supernatural. They were not giving up. They were still praying, right? But were they looking? Were they listening for the knocking at the door, right? And so it keeps on, and she kept insisting and saying, they said, it's his angel. Then they got spiritual. It's his angel, right? So Peter is still out there doing what? While they're having this whole discussion and this, he's still out there knocking. Why? Because he knows he's at the right door. And when you're at the right door, sometimes you have to knock and not give up until that door opens up. Because there might be a human element on the other side that needs to catch a clue and realize, oh, I need to open this door, right? And it says, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, so somewhere along the line, somebody else besides Rhoda heard the knocking or just got tired of her hysterics, right? And went to prove her wrong. And they opened the door, and who is standing there? Peter, in the flesh, the real thing. Not an angel, not a ghost. It's Peter in the real, right? And he was able to what? Come in and share all that God had done in his life. Amen? We never give up. First, we have to ask. And if you want to know if you're asking right, then seek inside the Word and find out what it is that God has for your life. If it lines up with the Word, it's yours. Because that's what he said. Yes and amen. It is finished. This is done. Amen? So you can ask for your finances according to this word. And there will be supernatural times that doors will open, that things will be paid off, and things will be covered in supernatural ways. And there will be other times that you'll be standing knocking at a door. Don't give up. Don't leave that door. If that's where the Lord has led you, you keep knocking. Why? Because there could be a human element on the other side that just needs to catch a clue that God is doing something. This is also, you could turn this around, because that's what I did to myself this week. Is someone knocking and I'm not answering? Is someone knocking and I'm not answering? That's an important thing for us to ask in our lives. Did God place something on your heart to do for something? It was just an angel. Oh, well, it was just hysteria. It was just emotional. Are you writing it off as something and that person is still knocking at their door and you have the answer that God has for them? Because how does God move and work here on the earth? A lot of times he flows through his people, right? I remember a couple in our church years ago. He wasn't even a Christian, the man that he worked for. But they had been praying and praying and praying and praying. Everyone else in the company got a raise but him. And they had been praying and praying and praying. Knocking and knocking and knocking. And the next day, I think it was like a couple weeks later, and the boss finally came to him and goes, you know what? I'm giving you a raise because every time I fall asleep, I have a dream of you, and you're asking me for a raise, and I'm so tired of having this in my head. Give him a raise. Give him a raise. Give him. I'm giving you a raise. Now, will it go away? You see, sometimes there's a human element that causes the delay. So we can't give up. Amen? We keep knocking, and the door will be open to us. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the Word of God today. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this Word. Three easy steps. We ask, and we ask in faith according to your Word. And we know what that is because we have sought you with all of our heart. God, we have gone after your word like a woman who has lost something. And we seek that answer until we find it. And when we find it, we can boldly knock on that door, because you will either supernaturally open that thing, or you will put it on someone's heart to open that door for us. And God, we praise you today that no matter what the reasoning, no matter how it's done, you are the one who gets all the glory. And that's what I pray, Father. As Peter came in, he shared the amazing things that you had done. And that's what we will do. When things happen in our finances, we will share the amazing things that you have done. We praise you, Lord, for your word today. And Father, if there's people in this room that are knocking on a door, we call that door opened in Jesus' name, whether it's supernaturally or, Father, you are putting it on someone's heart to open that door. Plague them until they open the door in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you today. If there are those of us in this room that hold the door for someone else, Lord, if we're holding it back, put it on our hearts. Don't let that person's name leave our mind, Father. Help us to remember what you've called us to do and do it, Lord, that we can be those who can open the door for someone else. And Father, we just praise you for a never give up attitude in our finances in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Stretch your hand out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith. Just say, I believe I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest, raises, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. Debt cancellation, supernatural favor of God be established in my life. And most of all, Father, use our giving to get the gospel preached around the world, that someone else can be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give God a great big shout this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. What a great word. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Well, I guess we can dismiss the kid. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord is good to us. He's faithful. Well, let's pray over this message, and we will dive right into it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing a message that is from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts. I think they're from, like, if you're hearing this later and you want to look them up, they have you can go through their history there. But I believe it's from August 4th, and there's, like, from that point on, about 3 weeks worth of messages, and they're entitled How to Be Strong in the End Times. And I just really felt like we needed to tighten up and come into alignment with some things that they're teaching on there regarding these things. And so these messages are coming directly out of their notes. Amen. And you'll hear different variations on, because I'm not good at just reading things verbatim out of people's notes. So you'll hear, you know, uniquenesses of what comes out of me, but the points are what the point is. Amen. So today we want to look at, well, Matthew 24 is really where this all began. And you can go back a couple weeks ago in our messages and hear, you know, that again in terms of, you know, just kind of gives you what's happening in the world and what Jesus said is going to happen in the world and the increase of evil that's happening and all these kind of things. And Pastor Terry brought out, it was Pastor Terry and George Pearson's are the ones that are leading us through these things by the Lord. And she was talking about how evil is escalating in the world, right? And that Jesus said that would happen in the last days. Amen? So no matter how much faith we have and how positive confession we are, we're not going to stop evil from increasing on the earth, but we can stop it in our own life, of course, right? And we can believe God for victory. And we also need to remember this, that the church, everybody say the church. The church of Jesus Christ is the restraining force in the world. That's why there has to be a rapture. Because if there wasn't a rapture, then the devil would never be able to fully carry out his plan, right? And so this is end times things, right? But just in terms of that word escalate made me think of escalators, right? And we have the image back there of, if you've ever been to a mall or some an airport or somewhere and they've got escalators that kind of crisscross each other and one's going up and the other's going down, right? And that's really as simple as it is with humanity. You're either going up or going down. And there's only one factor in that, right? It's who is Jesus to you? Have you received Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross for you? If you did, then you're on your way up. If you did not, then you're on your way down. Amen? And it's really not a, even children can understand this, which really is the farther we go into this, because I don't know about you, but just in our own nation in the past few years even, I did not even have a concept what they're pushing on children in our nation was even possible. The increase of evil that they're pushing on little kids. I was at a house the other day, and this couple, you know, living together, they were, you know, male, female, I don't know if they're married or whatever, but they had a little boy, and he was probably 3 years old, 4 years old, but they had him in pink, and his hair was long, and it's like, right? There's this stigma almost in the world that if it's a boy or a girl, we should sort of make it hard to tell because we just want everybody, don't want to offend anybody. It's just so bizarre, so bizarre. I remember when Lane was born in the hospital and they put a pink hat on him. And I said, I didn't like, I was like, do you have blue? And she goes, oh, no, this is our gender neutral. Now, if it's budget, okay, whatever. But salmon, pink, whatever, I was like, I'll be right back. Went down to the car, and we had stuff people had already given us. Put a blue hat on my boy. Right? Boy. But I really believe, honestly, that is one of the things that is going to accelerate the rapture. Our God, I'm talking about Abba God, has been very patient. He is merciful, but he's also just. And I believe that's a huge reason why the rapture will come even quicker is because I'm talking about doing to children. And if you'll notice in the Word of God, I mean, the Word of God indicates that children go in the rapture, I'm talking about. So there could be a woman ready to have an abortion and all of a sudden realizes, oh, I'm not pregnant anymore. What happened? Rapture. Or these people training up their little toddler to hate Jews and blow them up, and all of a sudden he's gone. What happened? Rapture. Right? Amen. So many would talk about messages like this and, well, why? What business has the church got being political, they'll say. Well, when it comes to life and death and children, we better be speaking the truth and calling it what it is, right? Because we're accountable for it. We're accountable for it. Somebody out there needs us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it's not just so Steve can break through financially or break through whatever. It's because there's somebody else counting on Steve to be strong that doesn't know up and down and dark and light. Right? These are vital times that we're in, amen? And so since we're in these end times, we need to know how to be strong in the Lord in end times for ourselves. Hallelujah. And this particular broadcast that I watched, because there's so many of them, I'm trying to do like two at a time. But this one, I just didn't see any other way but just to focus on this only. So this is like, I think, day number 5 in the broadcast. And it was titled, How to Be Strong in the End Times, but particularly 7 Benefits of a Strong Spirit. Somebody say, I have a strong spirit. Amen. So we're just going to go through this list here. First of all, the first one, this is from Pastor George and Terry again. A strong spirit will get you through anything. Right? In Proverbs 18, verse 14, in the Amplified Classic, again, that's been our foundation text as well, but it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. This is why I love, you know, Pastor Shelley's message on never quit, right? How many know if life knocks, if you're a Christian I'm talking about, and life knocks you down 300 times a day, then what that means is you're getting up 301. Amen. Right? You stay with it. You stay with the word. You stay on faith. Amen. And Proverbs 18, 14 says, a strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. A strong spirit will cause us to overcome everything the devil throws our way. Everything the devil throws our way. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am strong in spirit. And we're not talking about the Holy Spirit here. We're talking about your spirit. Amen? Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Hallelujah. Now, of course, in order to be strong in spirit, we need to be in union with the Holy Spirit. Because he is our strength. Amen? Right? Now, number 2, it says, a strong spirit will help you receive from God. Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience. Everybody say faith and patience. Which means, patience means endurance, constancy, standing your ground. Through faith and patience, endurance, constancy, standing your ground, we inherit the promises. The stronger your faith is, the easier it becomes to receive. And the Lord told me a couple years ago, you know, we were going through all this crazy shutdowns and election fraud and the COVID craziness, and it just felt like there was faith violation after faith violation after faith, and churches shutting down, just craziness, right? And we're praying about it and seeking the Lord and binding the devil. And I really felt strongly that the Lord spoke to me during that season and said, will you just stand another day? Amen. So as overwhelming as sometimes things seem, all the Lord is asking us to do is stand in faith today. Leave tomorrow to him. Right? Yesterday, whatever. Somebody say, I can stand another day. But I can't stand it another day. Stand another day in faith. Hallelujah. We can do this. Right? Amen. Number 3, a strong spirit will help you hold on. Somebody say, hold on to what you receive. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. So see, our faith isn't in our own faith. That's what faith people need to remember. My faith is not in my own faith. Faith is in the one who said the words. Right? Our faith is in him. That's why we can stand another day. Hallelujah. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And hold fast in the Greek means keep firm possession of. Amplified means seize and hold fast and retain. In the business world, that word retention is big in sales. How many customers did you lose this year? And then why did you lose them? Were they mad? Were they unhappy? Did they move away? Did they have a financial crisis? What, you know, and they start making all these different pie charts and to help the business grow and find out, okay, we're not retaining customers in this region because this salesperson is a jerk. Shows up and is rude, unprofessional, talks rude to people, doesn't do a good job. So what do we need to do? Well, there's three T's I learned. Actually, I learned this in ministry, but it applies to business. Train, transfer, or terminate. So does that guy need training? Does he need to be in the back loading boxes, not around the general public? Or is he just a lost cause? Right? Amen. So with God, we hold fast the profession of our faith. We can retain the blessings of God if we're staying in union with him. And Pastor George and Terry did a little illustration where she handed him a book and he sort of didn't hold on to it very tight and she knocked it out of his hands, right? And they're talking about, well, you got to take firm hold of the word of God, like a bulldog in a bone, right? And yesterday, one of the greatest football games I've ever seen in my life was last night. And it was Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffaloes. And it came down to 2 seconds on the clock. And Coach Prime's son, how do you say his son's name? Shadur threw this touchdown pass like 40 yards downfield. The receiver was behind a defensive guy, couldn't even see the ball, came around behind him and caught it off the ground, touchdown, tied the game. So they went to overtime, right? And this is where it's amazing. And in college overtime, you start on the 25, and so Colorado started and scored. They went up. So the other team gets a chance to tie it again, and it looks like they're going to. Looks like they're going to. So, and it's Baylor. So the running back he's had a great day. He's running the ball. He's going to cross the goal line. Only thing is, number 12 on the Colorado Buffaloes. Is his last name Hunter? Travis Hunter. What an athlete this kid is. He plays both ways. He's a receiver and like a safety or a defensive back, and he's excellent at both. He hardly takes a play off the entire game, and he's excellent at both. Well, I didn't realize it was him. Should have. But this guy's about to cross the goal line and tie the game again. But Hunter comes in full speed at the goal line and puts his helmet on the ball. And the guy didn't have a firm hold on the ball. So the ball pops out and rolls out the back of the end zone. And I mean, the place went crazy. It's in Colorado. And all the students just flood the field. And the refs are like, wait, we got to look at it. Make sure it was good. They're on the system. Everybody, please return to your. Of course, they didn't, right? And it was just pandemonium. And they reviewed it. And this kid, Travis Hunter, what an amazing athlete, won the game in that play because he knocked the ball loose. Amen. Somebody say, get a firm hold, because the devil's on the hunt. And we have to literally cling to God's promises and God's word and just refuse to let go. And if you do drop it, pick it back up. Don't get down on yourself. We are all human beings, and yet we have the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. There's going to be times where we just have to be picking ourselves back up and shaking ourselves off and go on to the next thing with God, right? Amen. So a strong spirit will help you hold on to what you receive. Amen. Glory to God. That could be vision for your life. Though it tarry, the Bible says. Amen. You stick with it. Hallelujah. Number four, a strong spirit will help you resist the devil and temptation. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that tells you right there, it's not the power of my might, it's the power of his might. So if we're talking about his might, then there's no reason for Steve to quit. Hallelujah, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand, somebody say stand, against the wiles of the devil. The devil's been here a while. He's been here a while longer than us. So he knows some tricks we don't know, but he doesn't have any new tricks. And the power of God is on the inside of us. So we just have to stay engaged, don't we? Hallelujah. Verse 11 in the Amplified says, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all, somebody say all the strategies and deceits of the devil. And then they said, be strong in who you are in him. So we need to spend a lot of time in this word, finding out who I am in him. So we as ministers shouldn't spend a lot of time telling people what sinners they are and how evil they are and how bad they are. No. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You are born again. You are the righteousness of God. You were a sinner, but you were saved by grace. So now you're a saint of God. You're a son or daughter of God. So getting into the word and finding those places that share with us who we are in Christ is just vital to having a strong spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I am able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And see, once we get our minds off of ourselves, this is why the devil wants me to get so focused on my faults and my failures. Because if I'm so focused or I'm missing it, then I have nothing to offer you. But if we get our eyes off ourselves and on him, then we start shining and encouraging other people around us. Hallelujah. Which leads us to the next point here, right? Number five, a strong spirit will help you help others. Hallelujah. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32 says this. I love this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. This is where, you know, Jesus is about to be crucified, right? And Peter says, I'll get crucified with you. I'm not turning, right? Bless Peter's heart, right? And Simon, of course, Jesus, when he's talking to him, calling him Simon, what is he saying? He didn't call him Peter. Peter, the rock. Who likes the rock? He's got a couple good family movies. But Simon means wavering reed, right? And sometimes parts of our lives are rock solid, and other parts of our lives are like that, you know, when my dad used to play softball, there was this body of water at the park. And one day I was probably five, and I walked out there, and it had like moss along the top, like all green. I thought, oh, look, I can walk right out there today. And down I went, man. And pulled myself back out of there. Whoa, okay, that's not solid ground, right? And sometimes there can be parts of our life that are rock solid, but other parts that we're a wavering reed. Amen. And the Holy Ghost helps us to grow. Amen. But he says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I mean, the devil plays dirty, man. The devil plays dirty. He does not play fair. He wants to humiliate you, embarrass you, and embarrass others, and embarrass the church, and embarrass the body of Christ. Make us all look silly. He does not play fair. Hallelujah, right? He wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now here's obviously Jesus. There's no greater picture of a strong spirit than Jesus. But I have prayed for you, Jesus says. So even when we see the devil messing with people we love, what should we do? Worry about it? Or reinforce their behavior? No. But I have prayed for you. Glory to God. Somebody say, pray for him. Pray for him. Don't gripe at him and pester him or give up on him or quit on him. Pray for them. Right? Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, this is old, converted, strengthen thy brethren. Converted. When you come back, when you repent, when you get back up on your feet, strengthen your, in other words, don't spend 5 seconds wailing over yourself and wallowing over how bad you were. No, when you have been converted, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. I was thinking of Lane's Jeep. He's got a cool Jeep, but the engine was bad, right? And so he had a new engine put in, and it took time. And it looks like the same Jeep, but it's not the same Jeep. It's got renewed youth. It's got renewed energy. It's got an engine with 0 miles on it. And it's still going to need some to learn to use it and get some exercise out there, right? But that's called being converted. I mean, there's no stopping it now, right? Hallelujah. And that's like when we get converted and coming into alignment and into union with God and his plan for our lives and with his spirit and with his word, it's like a new engine on the inside of us. Glory to his name forevermore. Right? Hallelujah. And then what does it do? It enables us to help other people. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And admit that in that other version, BBE, the version, verse 32, your brothers strong. Hallelujah. Well, how did he do that? How did he make him strong? Did he go write a book about his flop and just spend, I'm going to spend the next 25 weeks teaching about my failure to help you? No. He pointed him to Jesus, didn't he? And he got up and dusted himself off. I mean, we think about like our President Trump. He doesn't spend much time talking about almost being assassinated. He could write books, he could go on tour and talk about how awful that was and just spend, I've heard people do this. The one minister I remember that I really admired for a long time, a gospel singer, and he committed adultery, right? And that's bad, that's terrible. Destroyed his marriage, right? But then I started seeing him on television and all he wanted to talk about was how bad that was. And it's like, that doesn't help anything. Doesn't help anything. Doesn't help anybody. In fact, it might give somebody else a reason to go ahead and go do that too. You don't keep talking about the failure. No, you get up, dust yourself off, repent, and get back in alignment with Jesus and strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. But see, I can't strengthen my brethren if I'm not strong myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. Jesus is Lord. And the blood of Jesus will flow anywhere we allow it to. But see, in many cases, people like build dams up. Well, the blood can't flow to this part of my life because I still have some work to do. Well, no, you got to let the blood. Somebody say, let it flow. Let the blood flow there too. Amen. Number six, a strong spirit will help you withstand impact and pressure. And I want to read this one out of Luke chapter 6. So you can flip over there. Luke chapter 6. There just wasn't room enough to put this in the notes. So we're going to read it. Luke chapter 6. Oh, actually, I think I have my little, there it is. Yeah. Verses 47 through 49. Whoever comes to me, somebody say, whoever. What's whoever mean? Whoever. Right. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Somebody say, dig deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. I was listening again to the Torah portion on Saturday and Rabbi Joseph Shulam. And actually, this portion, I did a little research the night before out of the Hamash, which is like Jewish commentary on the Torah. And it said, I can't, the specific chapter, I think it was either, it's Deuteronomy 28 or something, talking about the blessings of the Lord will come upon you and overtake you and all of that. And a lot of people want the blessing of God to just come on them and overtake them, but they don't want to do what it takes to see that. Right? There is action involved. Not that you're earning it, but we do have things that we must do to be strong in the Lord, to draw close to him, draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. But the rabbi there, the rabbinical teaching in that portion, I loved it. I don't remember exactly how it read, but it said in a nutshell that we need to put our study, reading and studying the Word of God, higher place of importance even than your occupation. Right? So getting into this word and studying it and reading it and doing it is more important than what I do for my business, than, you know, where I get my sustenance, all that. I mean, that's a good place to check our hearts. Hallelujah, right? He's like a man building a house who dug deep. Somebody say, dig deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, so you'll notice there, just because we took our time and got into the Word and spent time with Jesus today, doesn't mean a flood's not coming. Doesn't mean the devil is staying away. Right? No, right? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. Could not shake it. It's like the story of the three little pigs. Remember that story? One built his house with straw, and another built his house with sticks, and the big bad wolf came, and he huffed and puffed and blew the house down, right? And the second one, he probably just lit a match, and poof, up it went. But the third one, he blew and blew and blew and blew until he was blue. But the house didn't stand, right? Or it standed. It stood throughout the storm, right? For it was founded on the rock. Founded on Jesus, amen? Or built on the Word of God. But he who heard, verse 49... And did, now notice, both of these people heard the Word of God. So we're not talking about people that don't know God out there. We're talking about church-going Christians, right? But he who heard and did nothing. See, all I have to do to fail is nothing. All I have to do is nothing. Right? But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house. See, he built a house too, right? On the earth without a foundation. against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately, somebody say immediately, it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So having a strong spirit helps us withstand impact and pressure from storms of life, right? Things the devil tries to stir up against us. And when we think about even the story that Shelley was sharing from the book of Acts, where Peter was in prison, and just a few days before, they had killed James, the brother of John, right? And just a few years before, they had killed Jesus, right? And here Jesus had been resurrected, and he left. So they were all probably thinking, we are taking over, man. He's back. But no, it was kind of like how some of us felt in a smaller way with these elections. He won. And yet, he gone. And we have to deal with the fallout, the craziness that's now breaking out everywhere. Right? And here Peter came, strengthened himself in the Lord. And even Peter himself, we know in that jail cell between those two guards, he was asleep. So he obviously was at peace. He was aware, right? He was aware that just the other day, James was killed. I'm next. And Jesus told me I'm going to die already. So Peter was probably just, I'm going to kill Jesus, right? And then when that angel showed up, amazing. Hallelujah, right? And then what did he do? He went and strengthened his brethren. His job wasn't done yet. His job wasn't done yet. Somebody say, my job isn't done yet. If I'm still breathing, even if I did some heinous, awful sin or something, get up. Shake it off, repent, and strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah, right? Number six, we just read, going to the word, hearing the word, and doing the word are how we grow and succeed. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I go to the word, I hear the word, and I do the word, and I grow and I succeed. In Jesus' name. So how do we go to the Word? Well, we read it. I mean, that's a good idea. There's a lot of Christians out there that don't even know what's in this book, right? There are Christians, but they don't know what's in the book. That's why they have evangelicals for Kamala Harris. Right? Now, Kamala Harris could be saved. She could. We could get her saved, believe God. But the things that she identifies with and promotes in the people of that political persuasion is not Christian stuff, as Tony Dungy pointed out, I heard recently. He said Kamala Harris's statement on people of faith coming out and supporting things like abortion, he's like, I don't know what faith you're talking about. But it sure ain't this one. Thank you, Tony Dungy. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. So going to the Word, hearing the Word, how do we hear it? We go to church. Sometimes we might be wondering, good Lord, how much longer is he going to go? He just keeps going and going. When will he shut up? Or we hear it. We turn it on. We pull it up on our phone. Or we put a CD in. When I'm out driving around town during the week doing business, I could listen to sports. I could listen to news. I could listen to rock and roll or country or whatever, right? Or I could turn on the Word. A lot of times I'm just walking around buildings, not talking to anybody. And I have this thing, this technology now called Bluetooth. And I can have in my Word, Kenneth Copeland, Keith Moore or Rick Renner or Bill Winston or, you know, somebody, or even myself. Sometimes I have myself in my ear and I'm like, good, thank you, Steve. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear you say that right now. Hallelujah. Right? And then how do we act on it? Well, acting on it is simply, first of all, means we believe it. We believe it. And then we're listening to the Holy Spirit to show us, Lord, are there any changes that we need to make to convert any part of my life that is unconverted yet, Lord, sir? Sir, Lord, yes, sir. Amen. And then we do it. Amen. Okay, number 7. A strong spirit will build a protective barrier around your heart. In Psalm 112, I think we looked at this chapter maybe last week, but surely, verses 6 through 8, surely he shall not be moved forever. See, no matter what pressure the devil brings against you or your family or your finances or your faith, you just have to have that. Listen, I ain't moving. I am not moving. I refuse to move. I don't care if they fire me, if they threaten me with my job, right? I'm not moving. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Somebody say amen. And that brings me back to our first message that dealt with that in Matthew 24, when Jesus basically said, even though all these things are happening, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because he has overcome the world. Hallelujah. Then a few things that they added to that last one there. The stronger the spirit, the harder for sickness to penetrate it. Discouragement can't sway it. Fear can't stop it. Offense can't enter it. A strong spirit will build a protective barrier around our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up and we'll close in prayer today. More coming. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody just say, I'm going to stand another day. Standing in Him. Praise Jesus. Just lift your hands and let's just pray this prayer out loud together. Just say, Father God, I commit to You to be strong in spirit, to read and study Your word, to hear it preached, and to do it, act on it, and receive the full benefit of it, and to strengthen my family, my God family, in Jesus' mighty name. So, Father God, I pray Your blessing on Your people today as we've all heard this message. Hallelujah. We receive the strength of Your Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we will walk in union and liberty and peace with You. And be unmovable, unshakable. Just like You, Lord. Just like You. Just like Jesus. You said you set Your... That scripture that talks about you, when you set your eyes on Jerusalem, it said you were like flint, unmovable, unshakable. And we'll commit to be strong, Lord, for others. For other people, God, that are weaker in their faith, maybe they have none at all, that they'll see and hear things You're doing in our lives and be drawn to You themselves. Hallelujah. We thank You for these things, Lord God. We take hold of Your words and we refuse to let it go. And we give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.